Welcome back to the Official Unofficial Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Junta. We're joined with a special guest, man, a fellow content creator like myself, owner of a company. Is that good? You tell me. Rough Shot Supply. Shout out Rough Shot Supply, by the way. It's Jake Savicki, brother. How we doing, man?
Doing good. How are you?
Good, man. So you're in the content game like myself, but let's go into, I believe, humble brag again. You followed us first, this podcast, and obviously I followed you back immediately. I was like, this guy's fucking electric. How did you find about this podcast? Was it from Luplo? What happened here?
It was actually, because I owned a facility in, for the past, I don't know, 2015 to maybe 20. I think I sold it at the end of 2020 to at the end of the pandemic. And we kind of had a cool little deal where, so a buddy of mine who graduated, I coached at Carlsbad High School. He's an alumni. He works here with the pitching guy, whatever. That guy asked if he could use the facility. We were closed for Corona, like couldn't let anybody in. We're a kids facility, so obviously we didn't have a choice. And I let that guy do some lessons in there during a rainy time. And then it kind of just evolved into this, like, over like 2 months, we would just open the back door, let them in, let them do their thing, get some work in. And in 2 months, it turned into like, I was standing behind, we opened it up to where there's enough room to go live. You could throw live and take ABs. And like, I'm watching from literally 2 feet behind home plate. Like, I'm watching Musgrove pitch to Luplo, and I'm just like, this is nuts. So like, I met all these guys and kind of got to know them a little bit. So when I saw Luplo post about you, I'm like, I got to follow. I got to see what's going on. But I love the content. I love what you're doing. I mean, you obviously pull in some dudes, man. And to me, I think that's the ultimate credibility for somebody. When you see who's willing to work with them or come on their podcast, and it's just, you know, you don't have to put a resume out there. People see it and go, okay, if these guys are in, that means, because, you know, these big leaguers, dude, they don't mess with people that they're not going to mess with. You know what I mean?
Like, no, exactly. And it helps having them, like the guys like Luplo and Musgrove and like Matzik and all these guys like back me up when they're trying to get guests on. So yeah, So you just got to watch Luplo and Musgrove go toe to toe. Let's get some background info here. Who got who more, Luplo or Musgrove?
You know what? I mostly Musgrove, just because, and that's not just Luplo. He probably got his work in too. They probably got each other as much as they did. But you know how it is to hit inside a facility against a pitcher like that. That's tough, dude. I mean, the indoor thing changes a lot for hitters, I think, more than pitchers, because it's just a whole different scene. Pitchers still kind of looking at a catcher throwing where they're throwing. And as a hitter, you got a different backdrop, the lighting and all this different stuff. So, and I always get nervous. Like when I took live ABs against teammates, I'm like, this dude's going to peg me. I know he is. And you know, you're not in a game to where it's like, if I get drilled, I get first base. So you're just kind of 50-50 up there. Like, you don't drill me. Half my body's like making sure I don't get hit, and the other half is trying to make sure I get a hit. So I think the advantage always goes to the pitchers in there. But we saw a lot of fun stuff, man. I mean, Moniak was in there. He's hitting against these dudes. Eshelman, who at the time was with, I think, Baltimore in the big leagues. Just seeing these guys, man. And it's cool to watch them, because it was work. You know what I mean? They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know if they were going to play or not play or anything. And these guys are coming in like it's a spring training session. They're there for an hour, 2 hours. They warm up the way they normally would. They get ready to go. And but Musgrove was, you know, he was with the Pirates at the time, and watching him throw that close and seeing it, it just gives you such a perspective on, like, and I already know, you know, if you're in the game, like, you know how good these people are. But it's just amazing, dude, watching the pitches come in from that, like, you're basically in the box going, this is unreal. Like, no wonder this guy goes out and shoves for seven against big leaguers. And then you see guys that they have these at bats, and you go, no wonder these dudes hit 280, 300 in the big leagues. This is, they're impressive. These athletes are very impressive. So that was a really fun time to see and kind of know all these guys. And like you said, a lot of them are just such good dudes. They'd come in, get their work, and I don't need any thank you or anything for opening the facility, but they'd come in, they'd get their work. Joe a few times would come in, do his thing, and then he'd leave, and 10 seconds later come back through the door, find me, Jake, hey, appreciate it, thank you, I'm out. Like, just little stuff to where you go, these are just good dudes. So that was a fun time.
Yeah, no, that's electric. Musgrove's such a good dude. So the next thing I want to talk about, so obviously Luplo is really good friends with Belly. And obviously you had that thing that went really viral with it. Was Luplo the one that showed that to Bellinger? Or like, how did that kind of come about? Like, because obviously Luplo, like I said, is really good boys with Bellinger. So we had to have at least showed him. And I think they're in the same fantasy league as well. So he probably definitely brought it up to him at least.
Yeah, I, you know what? I don't know. Those Belly videos, they kind of popped out of nowhere. It was just on a total whim. I made the first one. It blew up. And I became like the TikTok Belly guy for a little while. And I don't know. I've never talked to Belly. I don't know if Luplo.
Does he follow you?
I don't think so. I doubt it. I feel like, I mean, I don't know him. It's funny because all the videos essentially are almost like making fun of him, but he's one of my favorite players. I'm like, I love Bellinger. So I don't know. I highly doubt he doesn't.
Oh, he definitely doesn't like. I don't know if he's that has that type of personality to where he'd find that funny. Maybe I'm not sure. I like I said. Yeah, I don't.
That's what I'm saying. I think he'd probably go, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah, he definitely. I could definitely see him hating it. And I just like hate guys like that can't take a fucking joke like that. Obviously, you're just fucking with them. Like, and I'm like, that's just that's been a running joke on the internet for years. It's just that Bellinger's always high. Like, it's just been a running joke forever. But what made you like post that first video? Did someone say you look like him, or like what made you want to do that?
I loved him for a long time, and I watch him and I'm like, this dude, just the way he plays, like he looks like he is almost not paying attention. He looks like he's just there. And then he's got an MVP season under his belt. Looks like he's just there to literally have a good time, play some baseball. He's like your standard 16-year-old high school kid that is an MLB MVP. And I always just found that fascinating. But I was wearing the Brooklyn Dodgers hat, walked into my office, and I had like a Rough Shot Supply kind of Dodgers colored uniform or jersey. And I literally, just because of the Brooklyn hat and then the Jackie thing, it all like popped into my head. And I made that video in probably 2 minutes and posted it. And then next thing I know, it blew up. I'm like, well, this is just wild. I mean, TikTok will do that. Once you get one thing, it'll go. So there was no real plans. There was no real like research or anything of thinking about it. It just happened and became who I was there on TikTok for a little bit.
The wild thing about that is though, is like, yeah, like TikTok is a wild, wild place. Like obviously I do that. I mentioned every fucking podcast, but I do that Jay's podcast and the TikTok on that is wild. The comment section's fucking absurd. It's crazy. Like, when you first posted that video, were there some hardos in the comment section like, this dude looks nothing like Cody Bellinger? Like, this, what was like the reception like? Was it majority positive shit?
It was a majority positive. And then what's funny to me is it's like the biggest thing I see, because I do all baseball content now, mix in some Belly stuff, talk about whatever. I talk about home runs, talk about pitchers, I talk about it all. And what cracks me up is everybody's like all the negative comments are always like, oh, what major league team do you play for? And I'm like, I'm a TikTok creator. Like, this is not like, I don't think, I mean, do you have to have played in the big leagues to have an opinion or think about something? Like,
yeah, it's the worst. It's
we're the people that keep the MLB going because we're the fans. Like not like carrying the weight, but without the fans, that's what makes this so fun. You know what I mean? So many people go, dude, I don't even care about baseball, but your videos made me pay attention a little bit. Like, that to me is fun. But yeah, that's always the haters are like, oh, Belly did this and did that. What have you done? I'm like, dude, I never claimed to do anything.
Yeah,
I'm just here. So, but a majority of the Belly stuff is pretty positive because I think people just get it. You know, like you said, I'm not the only one that talks about him looking like he's constantly high, and he's a guy that like lives and just kind of creates his own content without even trying. Those guys are the best.
I will say this, because you are a Bellinger guy, like you said he's good, you like him as a player and all that type of stuff. I'm actually head of the campaign. I don't want him in Toronto. I'm the head of the campaign for that. Obviously, I think he's gonna get paid a shit ton of money. Oh, not a shit ton, maybe. He'll get paid a decent amount of money. I like, for a fourth outfielder, I don't think it makes sense. Where do you think Cody Bellinger is going to go next year? Because obviously he won't come to the Jays, because I think he'd be like the fourth outfield option, and he doesn't want to be a fourth outfielder. He wants to like get everyday reps in and kind of go on a one-year deal to prove himself. So obviously it doesn't make sense for him to come here. But where do you think he's going to go?
Man, I tell you, I followed just enough of that to see that It looks like the Jays are, I mean, are they front runners?
I think they are, which pisses me the fuck off, but yeah.
It's crazy because I think the thing with that is, like you said, do you need it? No. I know the Giants need outfielders. They're pushing for Judge, obviously. And if they're looking at something like you want a long-term guy and you don't get it and you're looking for let's get a year fill-in guy, you know what I mean, until we find somebody else or whatever it is, it might be a crazy little option. Put him out there with Jock, let him run around.
Yeah.
Who knows? But I think – I don't know, man. I don't know where he'll end up. I really don't. Well, wanting a one-year deal is – he could end up anywhere. That's kind of the thing with that. I mean, it could literally be – four teams front runners and he'll end up with somebody that wasn't even in the mix.
Yeah. I just thought, like I said, trading Teoscar Hernandez and then picking up fucking Bellinger just doesn't make any sense.
I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah,
the only bright side to him right now, and if you obviously look at the last 2 years, very few, is that he might maybe one of those guys, change of pace, change of place. He might have a year where he little resurgence. I don't know. I don't see it, but possible.
Yeah, it is possible. I genuinely do think if you met him, he would actually like tell you like, dude, fuck you, bro.
Oh,
like
for
I think it would be because of the running joke, because obviously like the joke was already a thing, but your video mm-hmm. blew the fuck up. I think it was like all over like Sportsnet and yeah. SportsCenter and stuff like that. So he definitely saw that and he's like, dude, fuck this guy. Like I'm pretty sure Luplo told me like he doesn't even like smoke weed or anything. He just looks like that. yeah, so it is like I genuinely do think if he met you, he'd be like, dude, fuck you, or just kind of be like a yeah. dickhead to you. I could be wrong on that though. I maybe have to ask Luplo, but I could be wrong. I genuinely do think though that might be the impression he might give you.
I completely agree. I know in San Diego, Dave Roberts' kid lived here. I coached him for a couple of years. I know Dave pretty well, and I've never even brought it up to Dave. I'm like, I don't even want to like this isn't something I want to have a part of that relationship, because it's just funny to me. And I completely agree with you. Everybody's like, dude, you got to meet Belly. I'm like, I feel the same way. I feel like he'd be like, fuck, why would I fucking meet this idiot?
Yeah, no, exactly.
No thanks. Exactly. I'm all, you know, two separate worlds. I'm just the TikTok dude, he's the big leaguer, and I respect him for sure, but I feel like I'm right on that page with you. I don't think he'd like me at all.
Like I have like the same running joke with the Jays podcast I do, because we kind of talk a lot about like Bradley Zimmer in like a sarcastic way, like how we talk about like him being like the best locker room guy, but just like the worst baseball player of all time. And our listeners actually spammed his comment section on his Instagram, like of his engagement picture, with like 100 comments just saying, come on the Gate 14 podcast, come on the Gate 14 podcast. And I genuinely think like he's just so annoyed by us, because like we obviously talk about him a shit ton as like parody, I guess you could say, where he's like, dude, I'm not going on the fucking podcast where guys like are sarcastically talking about me as a baseball player, which I think Bellinger's the same way. Like Bellinger would be like, this guy sarcastically, like his TikTok, like is crazy. Like the what kind of spiraled it was him making fun of me. Why the fuck should I like meet this guy or acknowledge this guy? But the thing is, though, if he wants to get a better public perception of himself and like have more fans, he should acknowledge it and just be like, yeah, I like this guy. Like I follow him and stuff like that. Him kind of shadowing himself away from you makes him look a little bit dumber, to be honest. Like he just can't take a joke or something along those lines.
Yeah. I look at it like I said, I'm a dude on TikTok. He's a big leaguer. I just go, you know, I'm not the only one. I'm sure there's people at games that say stuff to him. I just don't think he's ever going to waste the time of acknowledging me, because if I'm in his shoes, I don't know that I would. I'd be like, cool, another dude out there that is doing what everyone else is doing but seems to do it on a bigger scale. I don't think I would give myself any time. And if I did, like let's say I went to a game and was down by the dugout, I was like Belly, and I saw him, I go, oh, what's up, dude? Like I
yeah
would
no exactly he would
it.
Definitely big league. I could be wrong, like I said, I don't know if he's a good guy. I've never seen him do like any podcasts or anything along those lines, so I'm genuinely not sure. But I mean, fuck, like it for a public perception, it would blow up the internet if he ended up like actually meeting you and taking a picture beside you, because you guys do look a shit ton alike. But obviously the fact that he's gone from LA, it probably will never happen. But going into that, I mean, obviously with the Giants being front runners for Aaron Judge and stuff like that, like do you think the Giants are going to get Aaron Judge? I think it's just like kind of a ploy to get more money out of the Yankees. I don't think he wants to play there. He'll hit like 12 home runs. Compared to Yankee Stadium short porch.
Yeah, I feel like the Yankees obviously have the money, whether they want to spend it or not. I think they want to. I just think they're trying to keep it as low as possible for them. And the Giants are certainly going to drive the price up. And I think any team that is really, really entertaining him would be stoked if they got him, and will also be happy if they don't, because they knew they drove the price way up for the Yankees. So I think I got this feeling he's not going to end up with the Yankees, which is weird.
That would be all time. I would love to see that. That would be all time.
Me too. I think it would be, honestly, a funny move, an interesting move. I don't know. I said this to somebody the other day, and this is way deep, but and really most of my predictions on everything have nothing to do with stats or research. But I told someone the other day, I said, if they don't have Judge, if they don't re-sign him, I think you're going to see their first round pick from this last year. And I saw this kid in high school, Spencer Jones. He's a 6'7", 225-pound lefty that has power and hits for average and is a great defender, good arm all the way around. I think you're going to see him fast-track to the bigs, and you're going to see him in Yankee Stadium soon. I mean, he's a gazelle. He's a big dude. He came from Vandy for those 3 years. If they don't get Judge, I would not be surprised to see them fast-track Spencer up to the fucking bigs.
So, you mentioned that. So, you coach high school baseball, correct, in Cali?
Yeah, I did. I retired, resigned, quit, whatever you want to call it. Sounds funny to say retired from high school baseball. Stopped coaching after this last season. So, I was there for 2 years as the assistant and then 7 years as the head guy.
So, what's the craziest thing you've seen in California, or the best player you've ever seen? Because you mentioned Spencer Jones. I'm looking at his stats right here. This dude fucking rakes. He had 344 last year. Is he one of the best players you've ever seen when you were coaching high school, or have you seen some other guys that are absolute dogs?
He came in. He was wild, man. He came in as a freshman, verbally committed to Vanderbilt. And it was like,
what?
Yeah. He in eighth grade, like that was the talk. Like he was already verbally committed to Vandy, which at the time, you know, they're number one in the country. That to me was wild. So I'm watching that. And watching him come up through like the whole, you know, high school deal, I coached against him 4 years. He was on varsity all 4 years. He lived up. He pitched and he played outfield. So he pitched. He was like 95, 96 his junior, senior year. Super wild. Like he would throw balls off like the backstop, like uncatchable.
Really?
Yeah. And then I always said, when you got a 6'7" lefty throwing 96, you have no real choice but to say this dude's going to be a pitcher. He's got to be. That's where the money is for him and all that. But he was such an athlete that I always told my other coaches that he's got to be an outfielder. He runs a 6'6". He's huge. He's athletic. If he's got 96 off the mound, he's probably got 100 from the outfield. Like, and he hits. So here's a story on him. We were up 3 runs in the bottom of the seventh at their place. One out. I put a full shift on. I said, if he's going to beat us, let him hit a grand slam. That's fine. We moved everybody to the right side of the field, pitched him in. I said, let him just pull one out of the yard. Don't care. I'd rather that than anything else. He inside outs this baseball down the left field line, triple, bases clearing. And then he ends up scoring on like an infield ground ball with our infield in to win the game. I'm like, this freaking guy. But he's a dude that I always kind of looked at. He was impressive. Mickey Moniak came from the same school. That was a wild one because you see a lot of dudes in high school that draw the scouts out. You'll see some guys have 10, 12 scouts at a game. You're like, this is a dude, obviously. I came out of my office for the first game that Moniak, his senior year, and he went 1-1. But this was, I don't know, a couple of weeks before the draft towards the end of our season. I came out of my office down through the stands. There was probably 60 to 70, like, people there, scouts, people. I walked past like AJ Preller. I'm like looking at these guys going, this is a different ball game. Like there's scouts and then there's like GMs that come to these games and watch. And it was unreal. And he was every bit, I think, as good as advertised. He hit to all fields. He hit with power. He was fast. He was good. So I like seeing him come back here to LA with the Angels. I think that's cool to see these guys a little homecoming. But Moniak was just very good. Spencer Jones, I think, was good. And then I had a dude, our shortstop in 2020, Corona year, got drafted in the fifth round. Thomas Sagacy, he just rakes, absolutely rakes. He's with Texas. He'll come up, I think, in the next few years and see him in the bigs. He was his junior year with us. Our place is a graveyard. Like, trying to hit a home run there is tough. And his junior year, I think he hit 440 with 10 bombs, and I think seven of them were at our place. And he's like, at the time, probably 5'11", 170.
Jesus the dude just Christ.
He's just got hands, hand-eye coordination. He can see it and hit it. So I think his stick will get him up there someday. But San Diego's a hotbed, man. It's like San Diego, Texas, Florida. You know, you're going to see guys that just blow your mind as a high school kid. It's unreal down here.
Yeah, and what is like what is the perception like from your team and like stuff like that when they're playing against a guy like Mickey Moniak and there's 70 scouts there? Like, are these kids like, what the fuck is this? Or are they trying to, like, I guess not make a name for themselves, but kind of try to put on for themselves? Like, how do they react to that?
We went the year that happened, our team went, we went 21, I think, and 10. We finished the regular season 21-8. We got swept by Moniak's team, and we shit the bed for three straight games. I mean, a whole different baseball team. Three of our eight losses came in that series, and none of them were close. We looked like we never played baseball. And by game two, my pregame speech was literally like, hey, none of these fucking guys are here to watch any of you. Like, go play the game that you've always played. Like, we have – like, our thing was defense and pitching, and then we hit enough. We won a whole bunch of 2-0 games, 3-1 games. Like, that was our thing. In game one against them, I think we had, like, 6 errors. We couldn't throw a strike. I was like, dude, we're just so scared. But you expect it. You know, these are high school kids. And I rolled out of the office and was like, holy shit, this is nuts. Like, and then when you look at them, they're fine because – LCC, like Moniak's team, they've been dealing with it all year. This is another regular game for them. Like, of course these guys are here. They're here all the time. They're probably here at practice. So for us, seeing it for the first time and trying to adapt versus them seeing it for the 25th time, it's a whole different ballgame.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
And for Cali kids and stuff like that, because obviously in Canada we have a pretty decent, like, around the Toronto area, it's kind of a hotbed for, like, baseball players and stuff like that. You see it with, like, Josh Naylor, Cal Quantrill, all those guys. In the high school in San Diego, if you throw below 90, are you kind of a fucking bum? Or, like, what's, like, the speed? What's the speed where it's like, this guy is a bum? Like, where, like, hitters are just like, this is slow as fuck.
Nowadays, that's what trips me out. When I played and we saw a dude throwing slow, we were like, sweet, 4-for-4. I'm raking today. Now, if our guys watch somebody warm up and he's not throwing 90, they're like, oh, fuck, I got to try to sit back on this. I'm like, dude, you get gassed up by 90 and you roll over 80. Like, what are we doing here? Pick one. If I would say each team around here, I would say the average guy down here, and this is everybody, you got your dudes and then you got the bottom of the staff. I would say it's probably 82 to 84, and each team has one or two guys that are mid to upper 80s, and half the teams probably have one dude that's their guy, that's 90, that's 91, 92. We had a guy last year that went to UCLA. He was 93, 6'7", water polo guy, national water polo player, and also committed with UCLA as a junior. So I've seen it. You know, we've had guys, but I would say every year there's half the teams at least have one guy that is like – draft status stud, 91, 92, gonna carve you up. And then probably 30% of the teams down here have a dude that you're just not gonna hit him, gonna touch him.
And so I gotta ask about this school, because obviously we've had Pete Crow Armstrong on the podcast and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He was a dog in high school as well. Is Harvard Westlake, how far is that from you guys?
That's far. We don't play them. So I've never played them, haven't seen them. We go, and I guess you can get into certain tournaments where you see those teams, but we don't. Yeah. That's not us. I've never played them, never seen them, so I wouldn't have any intel on them. But there's some schools, man, that it's pretty amazing down here, like where everybody's pretty good, and then you got teams like that that stand out amongst the good teams. Like,
yeah,
they're like Orange County. I know, like San Clemente was always somewhere in the top 10 in the nation all the time, and it's just a different program. And when you're like that in high school, you know, you don't, I mean, I always say it, like, you don't recruit in high school. I guess you can if you want to try to go do that, but you just kind of get what you get. So when you start winning and you start that culture, what you get is much better than what you would be getting if you didn't have that culture. So I guess the winning and the status is your recruiting service, you know, whatever. So I know I've had guys where we have 80 kids come out to tryouts for every level, 80 kids total. We got to make 3 teams out of it. And I talked to another school and they're like, oh yeah, we had 61 freshmen come out. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, I had 14. I'm hoping they all can play. So it's just it's different, and it depends on how much you're willing to kind of get into the nitty gritty of building your program.
And I'm looking here at like the rankings, I believe in California or San Diego. How does it work with like these prep schools? 'Cause I'm seeing the number one ranked school in San Diego is Torrey Pines. How far is that? Is that close to you?
Yeah, they're right down the street. So that's like a, I don't know, 15-minute drive.
It says they're number one in the nation.
It does right now, huh?
Or no, sorry, that was from 2020. That makes more sense. Okay, yeah, that
2020. They were very good in 2020. So they're in our league. So our league is Carlsbad and La Costa Canyon, which is where Moniak and Spencer Jones went. Their coach Justin Machado. You know the surfer Rob Machado?
No.
Okay, he's like one of the most famous surfers there is, but his brother coaches that team. He's the only coach that's ever been there since the school opened 25 years. He's a dude. They win all the time. Under a 20 win season, we play 30 games a year. If they don't win 20 games, you're like absolutely shocked.
Wow.
Yeah, they ended up number one in the nation at one point. Same with Phil Evans went there. You know Phil Evans?
Yeah.
He went there. So they're in our league. Torrey Pines is in our league. Carlsbad, Sage Creek, who's right down the street, and then someone else. But the way they do power rankings in San Diego is they take the previous year and they basically put like the best teams within like a decent distance of each other and put them in a league based off of that. So last year we had 6 teams in our league and 5 of them were ranked in the top 7 in all of San Diego. So I'm looking at it going, this is one of the best leagues like in the country as far as just baseball. Like we're playing 3 game sets against all these guys. It's like 15 games that we play all year is literally against some of the top teams in the country. And it's a wild little bracket, but it's good for these kids.
Yeah. And for the football, obviously I'm a big football guy as well. So I've heard nothing but crazy stories about Eastlake. Is that the football team that's just always a fucking wagon, right?
They are, and same with baseball. It's a different gig down there, man. Their baseball team is always very good. Their football team, I think they're just one of those high school teams that is big, man. They're big. Like you go down there and you look at their football team, you're like, this is a college team. Like if Carlsbad's having a good year and then you go, they're going to go play Eastlake and you look at the matchups, it's like, oh, Eastlake's line outweighs them by an average of 60 pounds. You're like, what the fuck? Like, it's crazy. And I never got too big into the football. I would go watch a couple games a year at home and it's fun. They do a phenomenal job. It makes you wish you're like 16 again in high school when you go to their Carlsbad games, because it's a full party. It's like the crowd is nuts. It's just insane. But Carlsbad is usually pretty decent. They're up there. But yeah, Eastlake is those teams from down south are always just, you know, built different. Sounds funny, but they just are. They're just different.
Yeah. And I'm reading right here, the number one team is Granite Hills. That's in San Diego. But
for baseball?
Yeah. I guess I'm from Toronto, so I have no fucking idea. But I gotta ask you this. This is an off the field question. How much are these kids, like, how big of dickheads are these kids that go to, like, the number one schools and then, like, the state, the number one schools in the nation? Are these kids just cocky motherfuckers? Like, is there teams that you guys hate playing against where it's like every single kid on this team is a fucking asshole? Like, every single kid on this team is a dickhead.
Yeah. You know what? That happens more from kids to kids. Like, we'll go places and I can feel it. And that's always my statement, is like, hey, and this is, so here's how it works down here a little bit. We come from Carlsbad, which is, it's like a beach town. There's money here. It's not like the richest place in San Diego, but there, you go buy a little shack for $1 million in Carlsbad. That's like where you're at. So we come from a little bit of money, and when we go down south to the places that aren't quite as wealthy, you can feel like they just fucking hate it. They're like, they just already hate us. They look at us like, you rich fucking losers. They hate it. And they always grind a little different. They play us with some grit, and we learn some like lessons looking at them. Like, yeah, because I always told my guys, I'm like, look, when you got the difference between a team like that, that might not be as talented, but they play and you can feel the energy of what they're bringing. Like, when you guys win or lose, like, you're still going home and getting in the jacuzzi and then eating the steak dinner mom made you. Like, these kids are stopping by fucking Wendy's on the way home and grabbing some food and then going home and going to wait for the next day. Like, it's a whole different vibe. And they come from a lot of these guys, that the Dominicans and guys, that their whole goal is to get out of where they're at and come over here and play Major League Baseball. There's a different grind when you grow up that way. So we feel that. And then Torrey Pines and LCC, my kids always, dude, it's like, we're on the bus and I'm like, all right, remember, play the game today, not the opponent. And they're like, oh, fuck these guys. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
Exactly, bro.
Here we go. I'm like, this is going to be what it's going to be. So I think the biggest one for me, like, that I had personally was Sage Creek is right next to us. Like, they're a mile away. They opened, I don't know, 10 years ago. And we've been here since 1956. So they're like the little brother, but they play the role of like, we're better, we're this, we're that. And it's a frustrating, because it's a lose-lose for us. Like, as a coach, like, if I lose to Sage Creek, I'm an idiot. If I beat them, like, yeah, we were supposed to beat them.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I always look at them, I'm like, if this school didn't exist, we would have those three guys in the rotation. We would have that one shortstop that's going to Cal. Like, we would be a powerhouse. But they take half our guys just by having a new school around. So that was always, for me personally, I think I went in my time there, it was like 13-2 against them. And I know that just because the two losses just disgusted me.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I always just wonder that shit, man, because obviously, like, in the U.S., especially in, like, Cali and stuff like that, a lot of it's same as here for hockey. A lot of families will move to get in zones where they can go to their desired, like, school or play for their desired team and stuff like that. Does that happen a lot, like, where a kid is really good in, like, middle school or, like, early high school, then, like, another high school will recruit them and their family has to, like, pack their shit up and move, like, to a completely different area just so they can live in the district to go to school there?
Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. There's a Rancho Bernardo was absolute powerhouse here for years, like forever. They still are. They're always very good. But there's like a running joke, like, oh, yeah, this kid moved over there because he drank the RB Kool-Aid. Like, the program, these kids are like sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade, like in the RB travel system. And they're growing up, like, by the time they become freshmen, it's like they've been in the program for 6 years. You're like, this is like a little Colts baseball team. So that school, like, I've seen guys literally move, get a condo over there, do whatever they got to do to get into that school. And you see it a lot. People move from a Torrey Pines district to a Carlsbad to Torrey Pines. And it happens for sure, which I think is wild. And what I'm seeing the most is really beyond like moving to get into a certain district, you see just a lot of dudes are getting held back and they're like 15-year-old freshmen and they're getting their license like in summer from freshman year to sophomore year. I'm like, how freaking old are you dudes? That's the biggest thing, is like, I'm watching freshmen come in and I'm like, dude, your birthday is, you know, in September of your freshman year and you're going to turn 16. This is nuts. So
yeah,
that's the biggest thing I see. And a lot of them are doing it a lot of them are showing up right now because they used that corona year when they were in eighth grade to say, oh, I'm not going to high school because I'm not going to have a real experience, like kind of like a excuse to stay back another year and get another year of growing up. I mean, shit, I graduated high school at 17. I think I was 5'10", 145 pounds. And then I think a year and a half later, played my first game of college and junior college. And I think I was 5'11", 190.
Yeah.
I mean, man, if I would, that age, you know, 16 to 19, the development's unreal. So if you're a extra year, year and a half as a senior, what an advantage.
Yeah, exactly. The parents there must be fucking hard to deal with though, man, especially where like you're from, I guess, because you said it comes from like area with like a lot of money and or decently amount of money and stuff like that. So a lot of these parents are like entitled. So how does like, have you seen some absolute lunatic parents that like are recording every single at bat, like ripping their fucking kids into oblivion in the middle of games, stuff like that? Like, how do you guys approach that stuff as coaches? Because obviously like you're just like, you're a high school coach and these parents are obviously like rich mother, like rich people that are just like entitled. So they can really say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do. And it's crazy. I will say I had a ton of like great parents, great support at Carlsbad. And then I had some absolute nut jobs. Like, I don't feel like I could talk about the nut jobs without like at least giving the praise to the ones that were good and supportive. But man, I've had some stuff to it. I'm just like, is this real? Like, is this even real? I had a sophomore my first year. We won our first game, which was game two of the season. I had a sophomore that was on, he was a catcher. He was on the JV team. Our two catchers that year, one of them went to USD. He was a senior, and the other one ended up going to West Point. And he was a junior at the time. So the sophomore kid is on the JV team. He's their catcher. And my other two guys that I had as catchers on the varsity team went D1. This dad is here after the game. We win our first game, and I'm walking through the stands to go see, like, my wife. And he goes, hey, Jake. I'm like, oh, what's up? Like, in my mind, I'm like, why is he here? The JV team, his son is playing, like, right down the street. Why is he here? He goes, hey, quick question. I'm like, yeah, what's up? Like, come jogging up steps. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, hey, why is my son on JV? And I, like, looked at him. I'm like, you think now's a good time to ask me that? He's like, well, no, I'm just saying. I said, we'll talk about it later. This dude ended up – this is a wild story. So my AD ends up calling – and I told him, I said, I'm not going to talk about this. I got two guys that are there that are better. The end of story. It is what it is. I got two very good catchers. I'm not going to sit him on varsity so he can have varsity status instead of play 30 games. Like, it's a waste of his time. My AD – and that was it. We left it at that. My AD texts me on, like, a Sunday – and I'm like, oh, this is not good. On a Sunday at like 2 o'clock, she's like, hey, FYI, got an email that was just really odd. It was from an anonymous person, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, cool. She's like, just letting you know, it came through. It wasn't good. We're not even going to talk about it because we don't talk about anonymous emails. We don't respond. If somebody's just going to anonymously do something, we're not going to react. So, okay, cool. Nothing happens. A week later, she calls me Friday. I'm getting off the bus to go to our game. And she says, hey, another email came through, same person. We'll just have to address it. Just wanted to let you know. I'm like, okay, cool. I get into her office the next day and I'm like, hey, what do they say? She's like, well, I don't really want to tell you. I'm like, let me read it. Let me read it. She's like, oh, okay, hold on. She prints it out, right? She prints out the email. This thing was 12 pages. I'm watching the printer and I'm like, after like page three, I started laughing. I'm like, what the fuck is this? She's like, yeah, I told you. I read the whole thing. There wasn't like an ounce of truth in it, like nothing. And I said, I bet I know who this is. I said, I just feel like I know. And I said, I think it's the sophomore's dad. I think that's who it is. So, and the email was like, well, I'm a pilot down in San Diego. My son is thinking about coming in. I've heard all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm telling you right now. So I ended up, there's a piece of the email that had like, he wrote a partner of mine at the time, an email on his website. And I said, hey, this, do you remember this email? He's like, oh yeah, I remember that email I responded to. I said, do you have an IP guy that can track this address? He's like, yeah, actually I do. He tracks it right back to the guy's house in Carlsbad. I'm like, there it is. I showed my AD. I was like, hey, I'm Detective Jake today. Like that's what I'm doing. I took this personal. I'm coming after him. I said, here you go. This is where it came from. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've been doing this 20 years. I'm like, you're telling me. This was the weekend of my first season coaching. I'm like, this is nuts. But you get some people, man, it's wild. I had a dude want a meeting with me. I'm like, yeah, no problem. We can go right up to my office before practice, make it quick. And he responds, he goes, oh, I'm not too keen on you summoning me up to your office like you're the godfather. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, did he just ask me for a meeting? Like, I literally said, you can sit in my seat if you want. Like, I'm not worried about it. And he's like, oh, I don't like that either. He goes, why don't we walk around the track? And I'm like,
What the fuck?
I literally ended up walking around the track with him. I told my assistant coach, I'm like, dude, you got to like just hang out by the track. Cause if this dude attacks me, like, I'm not a pussy, but you just fuck, dude. I don't know. It gets so wild. And I tell parents all the time, I'm like, look, there's going to be 9 happy parents every single game. And it's the 9 kids that are in the lineup and everyone else is not going to be happy. It's just the way it goes. So I know how it goes. Kids like me, kids don't like me. Parents love me, parents hate me. It comes with the territory. And I'll tell you what, I got paid $3,000 a year to coach Carlsbad High School. I'm like, this bang.
Not worth it, bro.
It's not. And that's why it's hard to find good coaches. That's why they're, and I get it. I mean, you have to be passionate about it. You have to love it. And the juice just isn't worth the squeeze sometimes. And
it's not, bro.
It's crazy.
It's not. Yeah, it's really not. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like these parents don't understand. And what I noticed a lot during like my playing and career and stuff like that as well is it's the parents that are complaining. It's never of the kids that are actually good at baseball. It's always like the kids that are like medium to like ass. Mm-hmm. And parents you got to say that in like a preseason meeting. Like if you're complaining about your child's playing time, take a step back and realize maybe my kid isn't as good as I think he is, which is kind of harsh to say, but that's like really like that's really kind of the truth. Like if you're complaining about something, your kid isn't good. Like that's like everyone can see. I mean, coaches rarely have a bone to pick with kids. Why are they not going to play the ones that are going to help them win? So it's just crazy to me. But another thing that I wanted to go into, obviously, second last thing here, you do that thing on TikTok where you say ball, strike, all that type of stuff. And I love the comment section and shit like that. Do you get it fairly bad in the comments or just by people saying like, wow, you're ragging on someone or just all that type of stuff? Like what's the reception like for those videos?
Those ones are 50-50. A lot of people, those ones are definitely 50-50. I get a lot of like, oh yeah, we're hammering that ball, this, that, the other thing. And then I get a lot of people that again are like, oh, what the fuck have you done? Or like, you're not doing shit. Oh, you're just ragging on kids. I'm like, look, this is like, and to me, it's always the people that never played baseball. Like,
yeah,
like this is like baseball's love language, like making fun of each other and talking shit. Like, this is what we do at practice. Like when I played, it was like, that's what we did to each other. Like, if I'm stepping in the box against my roommate in an inner squad, I'm telling him like, I'm about to take your shit 450. And he's like, you're not going to touch this. And that's the fun part about it. But yeah, I get a lot of people that think just the way I do things or make fun of people. And a lot of it too comes down to like, part of the whole shtick is like, I'll go with anybody. You know, I made a ball video about that 103-year-old lady in the wheelchair that threw it at Sister Jean, and everybody thought it was hilarious. And then I make the same video about Nolan Ryan, and they're like, dude, that's a fucking legend. What are you doing? I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? You guys don't give a shit about making fun of the 103-year-old lady, but you care about Nolan. So it just goes both ways. And, you know, I take it all. It's part of social media. Like, I'm completely unbothered by it, unless every now and then I read a comment. I'm like, this might actually like make a little sense. Like maybe this was something, but very rarely do I just find it all humorous. I mean, it's all part of it. That's what grows the following. That's what grows, you know, people that don't like you, they pay just as much attention to the people that follow you. So, but the ball videos, I don't even know how that started. It literally was just like the belly thing. It was a video I watched that literally said, all these guys are throwing 90 plus. And I'm like, that was 8 pitches in a row and not one of them was anywhere near the strike zone.
That's a good point. I mean, you're like, people are tapping. It's like a Rick Roll type of thing you got going. Like people are like, if I'm posting a video, it better be a fucking strike. But there's also like an untapped market that you haven't touched yet. It's like the Prep Baseball Report perfect game, like just obliviously lying about pop times for catchers. Like you should respond to those videos and be like, show a stopwatch and be like, that was like 2-3. Like that was a 2-3. That's an untapped market you got to tap into.
I like that. You might see some of those soon. That's the truth, man. Those numbers and all that stuff. It's like, come on now. Let's be honest. I could tell you just from watching the whole clip, it wasn't what you posted.
Like, yeah, like MLB on Fox will post like JT Realmuto with like a 178. And then there's like perfect game or prep baseball report posting like a 1.8 for a 16-year-old. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is not even – this guy – this 16-year-old's doing what JT Realmuto's, a gold glove, platinum glove fucking catcher's doing? Like, get the fuck out of here. It's crazy. Like, some of these sites are like legit frauds. Like, they just openly lie about shit.
Yeah. Oh, it's unreal. I just posted a perfect game video last night about it where I said, look, this is my problem with them. Like, they're highly integrated with MLB and NCAA. Like, and they're in their caption, they're telling you they got a tournament in December that you have to be at. It literally says hashtag uncommitted 13-14 you. And I'm like, yeah, because you're in fucking seventh grade. Like, this is the this is like the parents that they, you know, they don't know. These parents don't know. So when they read that, they're like, oh man, like, we're uncommitted. Like, are we supposed to be? And maybe we need to go to this event. And I'm like, these people know better than this. Like,
they're
know what they're
criminals,
doing.
Bro. A lot of I'm those motherfuckers you. Are criminals, dude. Like, let a 13 and 14 year old enjoy their fucking life instead of having to worry about what school he's committed to in 5 years down the line.
That's the one thing I tell, like, most times I talk about all of it. I'm like, don't make it a business earlier than you have to. At some point you have to, like, if you're talking 16. Four schools, you're talking to your, and that's the thing. Like, if you really want to go to college, it becomes a business when it comes down to like scholarships and a couple different offers. You say, okay, business wise, I guess, what's the best move for me and my family and where am I going to go and all that. But you got to just play the game and enjoy it. I mean, I'm watching high school kids like stress the fuck out during like a high school game where there's no scouts, there's nobody here, and they feel like, if I don't get hits today, I'm not going to get recruited. It's like, I went to a big league game, you know, last week, and I watched a bunch of dudes that literally are like on the cusp, right? If I have another 0-for-4 day, I might go to AAA, and I don't get this $4,000 a day at the league minimum while I'm up here. I go back to $1,200 a month or whatever it is. They're out there dancing, having a great time pregame. I'm like, why are they not stressed? But you guys are out here stressed as 16-year-old kids. Like, you got to have some fun with the game. And I'm a big, big, like, pusher of, like, have fun, not in a screw around way. But it's like, you know, you played. It's like, when you're relaxed and having a good time, you are going to be at your best. That's why I want you to have fun, because you're relaxed, you're enjoying the moment, you're enjoying the game. You're going to produce a lot more that way than you are being worried about some other shit. So you're right, dude. It's this stuff is hurting youth baseball. It's obviously helping the top 1% when they go to a perfect game showcase and they're a standout dude that's going to look at getting drafted or whatever. But for the 99% of guys, it's like, get your reps, get better, go see a hitting instructor, whatever it is, and just be good. See what happens.
The perfect game shit, it's just like, I just felt like there's like 12 U tournaments and just like, it just,
it's so bad.
It's so dumb, bro. I mean, it's like that with hockey here, I guess, a lot.
Is it? Every time I post something like that, people always go, same thing in hockey, same thing in track, same thing in football. Like, so that must be everywhere.
Well, I feel like baseball is the worst, though, because especially like around where you live and probably Texas and stuff like that. It's just because Perfect Game sees that as like a massive market with parents who are kind of rich and entitled and like are willing to spend a shit ton of money. So they just use those keywords like uncommitted, or like must come to showcase, or like there's going to be 60 scouts here, just all that stuff. And they don't understand how naive some of these, like, they understand actually how naive some of these parents are, where it's like, oh shit, like, I got to take my son here if he wants to get a free school or shit like that. It's criminal shit at the end of the day. That's what it is.
I think so. I really do. It bothers me.
Yeah, it really does. Like, just let a 13-year-old fucking enjoy their life instead of having to worry about being committed somewhere.
No doubt. That's like, I tell a story in like area code games, they're pretty good. I mean, they literally take some of the best talent. It's free for the kids, whatever. The area code games are legit, but I tell the story. I'm like, my shortstop that got drafted in 2020, he went to the area code tryouts 6 months before the draft or 8 months before the draft. Yeah. And it was like a 2-day tryout, Saturday, Sunday. They sent him home halfway through Saturday and said, hey, didn't make it, see you later. I'm like, and then the dude signed for $1 million 8 months later. This shit is just, it is what it is, obviously. Like, you know, you put yourself on a stage at the top 1%, good for you, but everyone else, it's like, this is, you're just getting robbed.
Yeah, no, it really is. So let's end this podcast here with you plugging your company. Obviously, go into it. I mean, what you guys do, like where our listeners can find you and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, so we are Rough Shot Supply Company, Rough Shot Supply Co. on Instagram. We're an apparel company, mostly hats, and we just kind of push a message that, you know, one of our best sellers is a hat that just says these are the good old days. We have some hoodies, but our whole thing is kind of being in the moment, enjoying where we're at, and understanding that, you know, life is as good as we're going to make it. And that's kind of our big thing is, you know, I think we all have 10 different points in our life where we can look back and go, oh, those were the good old days when I was 10. Oh yeah, I remember when we were 13, those were the good old days. So
yeah,
I think no matter where we're at, you and I are going to look back at this podcast in 10 years ago. Oh, those were the good old days when we had that podcast going and we talked. And so I think our biggest message is being present in the moment and kind of recognizing how good we might have it regardless of a lot of circumstances. So that's where we're at. We're just trying to push some positivity out there into a world that is not fully positive all the time. And I think it's a choice. So roughshotsupplyco.com, or might be roughshotsupply.com. I gotta figure that out. If you post it up here, just go ahead and
I'll get it on the Twitter and Insta for you.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I appreciate all the support with that brand. It's been fun. It's been cool to see it grow. And obviously with the social media following, they're supportive of it. So it's been a cool ride and something that, you know, for me, I'm trying to build a long-term sustainable business out of it. And it's heading in that direction, which is cool because you never know what's going to happen with social media or whatever else. So it's been really good. It's been fun.
Yeah. Anyways, man, I appreciate you coming on this, brother. Like I said, I mean, we're recording this Wednesday. It drops tomorrow. So the people are going to love this shit. We'll get you back on in season to talk about that. And hopefully I'm going to try to get an answer on the Cody Bellinger stuff. I'm going to do detective on it. We're going to get to the bottom of it. But thanks for hopping on this, brother.
Get to Luplo, ask him what he's got on it. I appreciate you having me, dude. This is a blast. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.